Thank you, Jesus, for the many ways that we can offer you praise. Open our minds, open our hearts, open our lives to your good news. We pray this in your name. Amen. I once heard a well-known New Testament theologian, Dr. Marva Daun, preach on Romans 12, the text that I'll read in a moment. And I don't remember much of her sermon, so I'm not preaching her sermon to you today. But I do remember this. She said that if we as followers of Jesus, the church, being led by the Holy Spirit, if we were to actually commit to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12, the Holy Word of God, if we were to commit to have our lives shaped completely around Romans 12, having it fresh day after day in all of our interactions and all that we do and how we are, if Romans 12 had that sort of shaping influence on us, God at work through His Word, fueled by the Holy Spirit, life together for us as followers of Jesus would be completely changed. Changed in radical ways and in joy-filled ways. In fact, she phrased it in a way that doesn't sound very theological, but she said, it would be so much fun if we lived like this. Romans 12. So I don't know how familiar you are with Romans 12, but it will certainly be worth your time after worship today to spend time in this chapter. It's only 21 verses. And ask yourself, as you go through this chapter, ask yourself, what if life like this is how my life would be described? And if by God's grace, if my life could be described like what we read in Romans 12, humbly submitted to Jesus, guided by the Holy Spirit, living in reflection of what Paul wrote in Romans 12, what kind of impact might that have on other people, including the people seated right nearby us today, and anybody else, whoever it might be? What would life be like if this described me? And what impact would my life have on other people? In the name of Jesus. We won't go wrong by spending time in Romans 12, or any other part of God's Word for that matter, but we'll just stay right here today at the first 13 verses of Romans 12. And even though these first verses will be projected as I read them, it'll be helpful, as always, to have your Bible open in front of you. And as I said before, if you, for whatever reason, do not have a Bible of your own, take the one in front of you. Consider it as a gift, a tool from this church for you to take. We also have a couple stacks of new Bibles near this entrance and the south entrance. They're green, they're paperback. They're for you to take or for you to take and give away to somebody who doesn't have one. We need to be working with God's Word. So listen to the text. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Isn't it interesting how Paul begins this pivotal chapter, Romans 12? Chapter 1 that someone once described as putting legs on faith. He begins with worship. Listen to how the first two verses are paraphrased in the Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Responding to God. Offering ourselves over to God. This is worship. Being alert to the ways that our culture and pace can lure us into settling for an immature spiritual life, and in that alertness, choosing instead to fix our attention on God and what He does for us. This is worship. This is what we do in worship. We intentionally block off this set-apart sacred time, and we gather like this, and through music, and through His Word, and through preaching, and through prayer, through silence, through conversation, through praying together with others, we place ourselves before God and we ask for His story to be written on top of the story of our lives. His story upon us. For His living Word to reorient us from the disorienting array of things that come at us every day. This is worship. This is why we're here. As we begin this new season of life now, this fall 2013, we're taking the first couple of weeks focusing on essential practices of faith, namely these: worship, God's Word, prayer, and obedience. Worship today, God's Word next week, prayer, and then obedience, our response to God. And we're beginning, as Paul does, with worship, because worship is primary. Worship is primary. Worship is behind everything else. Not behind as in being of less importance, but behind as in a canvas being behind the paint. Without the canvas, the paint makes no sense. If you take away the canvas, the paint is pointless. That's where worship fits for the people of God. It's primary. It's behind everything else. It is indispensable. It is absolutely formative. And it literally nourishes everything else that we do in life. And one main reason why worship is so primary and indispensable is this. Worship, true worship, meaning what we do here together, but also what a lot of us additionally do on our own in our devotional time is we worship God. Worship shifts our focus away from just ourselves and just this world that presses in all kinds of all kinds of different ways. It shifts our attention away from ourselves and the world around us to God. God, our Creator and our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, the Son and our Redeemer and Savior, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Encourager, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Worship is designed to focus our attention that way, to set our sights on a higher plane, to help us remember that life is not just all about us and the things that we deal with day to day. It's about God and who God is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and what God has done, the whole history recorded in Scripture, and what He's done in our lives, and what God is doing right now, here in our midst right now, and what God promises to do that is yet to come. That's the story. The story, as I mentioned, that we seek to have written on top of the stories of our lives. The whole sweeping story of God redeeming life, especially what He has done for us through giving us His Son, Jesus Christ, and the forgiven, renewed life we are given through faith in Him. Worship is primary. It is behind everything else. It's the canvas upon which everything else is painted. Worship is an essential practice that God has given to us and a powerful means for us, and really it's a deep longing that our Creator has planted within us to turn outward and upward, to respond to the very source of life, to the source of love and forgiveness and grace, to respond to the One who loves us and who has created us for Himself. And so, back to the beginning of Romans 12. Listen to what Paul writes. I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Your bodies. The Greek word here is soma. Soma. And it literally means flesh, blood, bones, our physical bodies. And what's implied here is our full life. Everything about us. We don't come to worship disembodied. We come here with our bodies, with our bones, with our flesh, with our skin. We don't come as if we can somehow divorce our exterior life from our interior life. God has given us a soul, but He's given us tongues. He's given us a spirit, but He's given us feet and hands as well. I urge you, therefore, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. And with that, I want to be just a little bit instructive with you about worshiping with our bodies. Let your body get engaged. Let your body get engaged in worship. And if for you, if the least distracting, most focused, attentive way for you to worship is to have your eyes closed or to keep your hands folded, please follow that. Respond to the way that God has wired you. But if you sense a stirring to raise your hands in worship, or to put your arms up, or to stand up and to dance, or however God moves you, please follow that. This is true worship. Expressing ourselves physically, it's very biblically based. And if we are moved to do this, but then don't, out of fear of what other people might think, then our focus has shifted away from God toward others and toward ourselves. And I remember hearing from somebody years ago that if we resist in that way, we are resisting God. We are sinning if we don't follow the way that God stirs us to move in worship. So I hope you're hearing me clearly. I am not urging one form of expression or the other. I'm simply urging, along with the Apostle Paul, to be true in worship, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, pleasing to God, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Obviously, though, it's not just with our bodies. So I said the Greek word soma, while it does mean flesh, blood, bones, it also means all of who we are. Everything about us, including our minds. And so Paul goes on to write in verse 2, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Our minds need to be fully engaged as well. Nous is the Greek word Paul used there for mind. And it means our power of perception, our thinking, our evaluating and judging. It means the way that we sort through things to find out if this is authentic or an imitation, if this is worth holding on to, if it's not. All around us, we know our advertisements. The formal ones like billboards or on TV or the pop-up ads that come online all the time. But there are also all the informal ones. The people and things around us that are saying, come this way, check this out. Sign up for this. You need to do that. You need to get your kids signed up for this. Check this out. All the time. You know the pressure. We need discernment like never before, don't we? About what's true, what's fake, what's good, what's bad, what's authentic, what's going to lead somewhere healthy and what won't. Worship informs that base. Worship frames the conversation and shapes our discernment. Worship turns our attention away from the glittering and ever-changing, attracting things all around us all the time and focuses us on that absolutely most important reality. God. God's Word, God's will, God Himself. By His grace, With true worship built in as an essential practice in our lives, as we focus the breadth of our lives on Him, our bodies and our minds fully engaged, hands, feet, hearts, souls, God helps us to test and approve what His will is, with what fits with Him and what doesn't, what pleases Him and what breaks His heart, what will lead to deeper life and greater maturity, and what is basically just junk food in life. As that phrase from the Message reads in this part of the text, as the paraphrase of the Message reads or interprets this part of the text, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Jason, what should I do with this? Like that. Thank you. Worship is essential. It is absolutely essential. If you do a scriptural study through the Bible, looking through both the Old Testament and the New Testament, here's what you'll find about worship. It's a non-negotiable. In fact, biblically, when people were distracted away from worshiping the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, when people were distracted away from worship in spirit and in truth, as Jesus put it, or when worship was eroded down to mere ritual, showing up and checking off the box, God was grieved. And so often, biblically, that's when trouble came. Or that's when people lost their way. Or that's when the ways of the world replaced the ways of God, and this great gift of being in communion with God and living in His will, this gracious invitation to live in response to Him, it would get fuzzy and go dark. Worship is essential. And one last thing. It was never designed by God to be passive. Worship was never designed to be passive, as if we just come and receive. This is why we don't refer to the congregation as the audience. And this is why this area up here is called the chancel and not the stage. Audience and stage are theater words. Congregation and chancel are worship words. Worship that actively includes all of us. We come, we receive, but worship is not something done to us or just done for us. It is done by all of us together. This is why embedded into the very words for worship in Greek is action. One of those words, liturgia, the word which is the word from which we get liturgy, liturgia literally means the work of the people. It means that we come and we engage, we work this together. It's being done by all of us together, not just the people who are here up front. We all have a role to play. It's part of what Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 5. In Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And we all have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Therefore, when you are missing from worship, and I know there are all kinds of reasons why people miss worship, but when you are missing, there's a gap. And we miss you. We need you. We need to work this together. One other active word commonly used in the New Testament for worship is proskuneo, and it means to bow down. Out of respect, out of awe, out of humility, literally, physically, to bend. Bending our faces down, bending our bodies down, bending and yielding. It's a physical action to show that we are aware of who it is we worship. The only one worthy of our worship. The one who has called us to be His people and has plans for us. Worship is designed by God to be active. And it is essential, acknowledging that He Himself is active with us as we worship Him. And so I'll close with this. And listen for the verbs. Action words about worship. It's written by William Temple, and it's printed on the top of the prayer notes. Worship is the quickening of the conscience by the holiness of God. Feeding the mind with the truth of God. Purging the imagination by the beauty of God. Opening the heart to the love of God. And devoting the will to the purposes of God. Let's pray. God, as the choir sang, here we are to worship, to bow down, to say that You are our God. And we are Your people. May we continue to move deeper and more actively into this essential practice of worship. Grow us, shape us, change us. Work in those deepest ways within us, that day by day we may be more and more the people You created us to be, serving You with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We love You, Lord. We seek Your will. And we commit each other into Your hands, praying for Your holy will to be done in us and through us. We pray all of this in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand for the affirmation of faith that it will be projected and is in the bulletin.